And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be examining a subject that should be dear to every person's heart. It's the direction of Christianity. The direction of Christianity. You know, if you get my newsletter, you know that this very month, the feature article talks about the direction that Christianity is going in, and boy, it's quite alarming and disturbing. It seems that there really are two Christianities in America and the world today. There's the establishment Christianity, and then there's the very much smaller and very indistinct, at least to the world, but not to Christ. There's the much smaller, less rich, less powerful in terms of the world and its material goods, true Christian church. I say that because when people talk about being a Christian or the Christian church, generally, whatever follows that statement, if they say, I'm a Christian or I'm a member of a certain Christian church, everything that they say after that has no meaning. It's just like it's going out into the air because, you see, the fact is, there really is no Christian church that you can see in America. This may come as a surprise to those of you who drive around in your city or your community and you see church after church. And some churches are growing and doing wonderful things and their pastors are featured in the newspaper and they're having all kinds of activities and so forth. And then you watch football games and boxing matches, and the athletes say, I want to thank God for this victory today. And then you see celebrities and movie stars, and they say, oh, yeah, thank God. And, you know, God is everywhere in America, except in the hearts of men and women, it seems. And the Christian church is ubiquitous, to use a big word. That means everywhere. But there's no Jesus in it. And it seems that the book of Revelation is certainly borne out because it says that there will be a form of belief, a form of religion, but without power. God even uses the word lukewarm. They're lukewarm. They seem like they're hot and on fire, but you find out they're not. Don't you always just find it so distasteful? You sit down to have a good cup of coffee and you find out that it's warm. It's sometimes even cold. This very morning, in fact, I made some hot coffee, pot of coffee, and the phone rang, and I got to talking to somebody, and I went back, and, well, it was just cold. It's not the same, is it? You know, the book of Revelation, Jesus said he would spew out of his mouth those of the lukewarm church. They say they're Christians. They say they believe in Jesus. They're members of churches, but he says, oh, no, you're just lukewarm. It would be better to be hot or cold. Isn't it interesting? God would rather you be ice cold than lukewarm. I've always seen that. I believe a person, a prostitute, a murderer, a burglar, a thief, has much more opportunity to be saved than a person who's religious. That's right. You see, many people who are liars and thieves and murderers and prostitutes, they know what they are. They're sinners. Oh, yeah, they're into sin. They're into degradations, but they know it. But those of the false Christian church, They pretend that they're not sinners. Why, they pretend that they're holy. They're lukewarm. They're compromisers. But they pretend to be something they're not. And you know, it's going to get to the point where once Jesus returns or they die, they're going to go before the throne of God to be judged, and then they're going to tell God about all the great things they've done. But you can't fool God. He knows, the book of the Gospel of John says, He knows what is in the heart of every man. He says to these people, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." They're going to say, "Wait, God, you have to know me. I walked down the altar of that Baptist church or that Assembly of God church. I was confirmed at a Lutheran church. Why? I'm a Jew. I had my bar mitzvah. I was initiated into the old covenant of Moses at my synagogue. I'm one of God's chosen. You can't kick me out of heaven. You can't denounce me as a stooge of Satan and throw me down into hell. I'm a Jew. Or I'm a Christian. Look at everything I did. I even cast out devils in your name." But Jesus, I'm sure, will assure them, "You didn't cast out devils in my name. Satan cannot cast out Satan." "Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." Some of the biggest named Christians in the world will be there, identified as workers of iniquity, and they will be servants of the mystery of iniquity, which is the Antichrist, the son of Satan. Now, I brought the Jew into my discussion here because I want you to understand today, for many Christians, there is no difference in holiness between an unsaved Jew and a Christian. This is the great calamity and tragedy of the Christian establishment today, that they make no distinguishing, no contrast, no difference between Jews who do not believe in Jesus, who often despise and hate and find Jesus Christ loathsome and detestable. There's no difference between those Jews and true Christians, according to many who call themselves Christians. And I'm talking about the biggest names. I'm talking about James Dobson of Focus on the Family. I'm talking about Pat Robertson of the 700 Club. I'm talking about Paul and Jan Crouch of Trinity Broadcasting Network and John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio. To these men, there's really no difference between a Christ-hating Jew and a Christian. And you know what? I agree with them. Because in their understanding of what a Christian is, there is no difference between the Christ-hating Jew and the Christian. The lukewarm Christian is no different than the Jew, and both will see their same fate. Workers of iniquity in the last days. Now, I want to talk to you today about the death grip. Yes, the death grip that Judaizers have on the Christian establishment. And that means 99.99% of all who identify themselves as Christians today. Christians, so-called Christians, are working with the synagogue of Satan to strangle and kill the truth today. They have a death grip on what they believe is Christianity. And you know what? The strange thing about it is they're choking themselves to death. I remember when I was a young man, I saw this supposedly horror movie, but I sort of got a little bit of just entertainment, amusement out of it. It was about a man whose hand was evil. And I can't remember if his, you know, they put an arm on him. You know, he got injured in an accident of some kind. And they had a cadaver, a body of a criminal who was a murderer and a strangler. And this young man lost an arm, so they took off the arm off the criminal that just died, and in an operating room they amputated and put the arm on to the young man, the innocent young man. And he couldn't stop the hand and the arm from doing evil. And he would go around, and he didn't want to. He tried to stop the arm or the hand, but it kept strangling and killing people. So he had a hand and an arm that wasn't his. And eventually, it became a real tug of war between his body and the hand of evil. Finally, the hand of evil grasped his own throat and choked him to death. He killed himself. Isn't that the way these compromisers of the mystery of iniquity are doing today? Isn't that what they're doing? They have a death grip on the Christian establishment, but they are the Christian establishment. And they're strangling themselves to death. I've always found that sin will take you so far that eventually you commit suicide. And you don't even know it. You know, God doesn't have to cast you down into the pit of hell. You jump off. Well, I'm reminded of the demons that infected, that possessed the young man in the Gadarene tombs. And when he was, I mean, he was full of them. And what were their name? Why, their name was Legion. There were so many of them, they call themselves Legion. But when they came into close contact with Jesus, they were driven mad. And Jesus cast them out into a herd of swine, of pigs. And you know, the demons were so filthy and so insane, the pigs literally ran over the cliff and killed themselves. That's what's happening to people. They are turned into swinish pigs by Satan. And they're jumping over the cliff like a big herd and killing themselves. It's interesting that you're judged by your own words. You're judged by your own deeds, your own actions. And when you begin to strangle true Christianity, you're not hurting the true Christian church, you're hurting yourself. And that's what these men, these Judaizers, are doing. They've got a death grip on the Christian establishment, which they are. They're strangling themselves. They're not hurting Tex Mars. They're not hurting Jesus Christ. No one can hurt Jesus Christ. Oh, you can break his heart. You can cause him to cry tears of sadness, but you can't hurt him. In terms of doing physical damage, you can't strangle Jesus. And the truth will prevail and triumph no matter how much the darkness envelops this world. There will always be a stream of light from heaven, a reflection of God, until he takes his people off this planet. Now, I'm going to talk today about the great danger, the great threat to people who, let's just say, are indeed vulnerable. People who have not yet understood the true meaning of Christianity. People who really don't have a grounding or a foundation of truth because they don't have the Bible. They have teachers who are Judaizers. Now, these people I do worry about. I fear for them. I don't fear for myself. I'm grounded in the scriptures of Holy God, and no one is going to move me. My eyes, my mind is set like flint. Is your mind set like flint? Is your mind immovable? All you have to do is grasp on to the truth of the Bible. You know, it says in the book of Revelation that those who follow God will, their eyes constantly follow the Lamb. Wherever he goes, they follow him. They watch him. That's all that's necessary. Just follow the Lamb. But there are those out there that are following the Judaizers. They're following the lukewarm, compromised, so-called church, which is simply the establishment. And they say these men who are theologians, who have great names, who have huge ministries, must be telling us the truth because they're scholars. They're learned. I mean, you can't have a church of 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 members unless you're blessed by God. You can't be rich and prosperous unless God is in it. Or can you? And they follow after the Joel Osteens and the Rick Warrens and the James Dobsons, the Judaizers. And they don't realize they're committing suicide in doing so. I hope today's program will enlighten these vulnerable, potential believers in the true Jesus as to the great danger that confronts them. On every hand today, the Judaizers are at work. I cannot tell you how much mail I get from people criticizing me, saying, telling me, pleading with me, threatening me, saying I must become a Judaizer. I must promote Israel. I must promote the Jews. God's chosen. And if I say one word against the Jews or God's chosen, God will punish me. I'm a heretic. I'm headed for hell. It's a strange thing. I've been all over the world. I was in the U.S. Air Force for 20 years, and I've met people of every nationality, it seems. I've been in so many nations, whether I was in uniform or out of uniform. And I always told the truth about the nation that I was in. I was stationed in Germany and Thailand and Vietnam and so many countries. And it never really bothered me to tell the truth about the English or the Spaniards or the Jews or the Americans or the Mexicans or the Greeks. And it was always acceptable except when I talked about the Jews. I can talk about American foreign policy and I can say it's wrong-headed and people go, okay. But if I say an Israel foreign policy is wrong-headed, they go, whoa, you've just gone too far. You must be one of those anti-Semites. I can be anti-American, and that's okay. Isn't that interesting? Now, I must tell you, I'm a patriotic American. But I can preach all day against American people, say, right on, Brother Tex. But if I say one negative word about the Jews or about Israel, people say, whoa, you're a bad, bad man. Tex Mars, you obviously are a hater of the Jews and God's going to punish you. I've always found that quite interesting since the Bible itself is full of statements against the behavior and conduct and sin of the Jews and a physical, fleshly Israel. Jesus called the Pharisees, which the leaders of the Jews, yes, the leaders of the Jews, and the Pharisees are still the leaders of the Jews because Orthodox Judaism is Phariseeism to this day, to this very day. Jesus called them vipers, serpents. He said to the leaders now of the Jewish people, he said, you're of your father, the devil. And you're responsible for all the blood that's ever been shed on the face of the earth. Matthew 23:24, he said that. Paul said they're contrary to all men. They seek our destruction as Christians. And they prevent us from preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, he said of the Jews. Stephen called them stiff-necked. Stephen said, you're the ones that crucified our Lord, he told the Jews. They stoned him to death. they sought to kill Paul for what he said about the Jews. They did crucify Jesus. They beat and flogged Peter for preaching Jesus and what he said about the Jews. Amazing, isn't it? You go back and you read the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the others. They call Israel, the fleshly nation of Israel, a whore. They call Israel Babylon, the harlot. There's no record in the Bible where God rebuked them and said, "You're an anti-Semite, Jeremiah. You're a Jew hater, Isaiah. Jesus, how dare you? The Jews are so holy, they're God's chosen. How dare you to say that they're serpents?" And John the Baptist, the Pharisees came to be baptized, and you said, "Who has warned you to escape the damnation? You're headed for hell," John said to them, John the Baptist. "How dare you, John the Baptist? You can't say such things about the Jews." You see, here's the situation, friends. It seems that Isaiah and Moses and Jeremiah and Zechariah and Jesus and Paul and all the apostles and prophets, it seems they were all a bunch of anti-Semites. They certainly were not Judaizers. And yet God seemed to be happy with them. Why was he happy when Isaiah talked about Israel being the harlot and playing the harlot? Why wasn't he angry with Isaiah? What was it about Jesus that inspired him to say, "You're of your father, the devil," to the Jewish leaders? Could it be that Jesus really was God and he knew of what he spoke? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe Paul? Do you believe Isaiah, Moses? Or do you believe the Judaizers? I want to ask you that question today. Now, you might be one that has a death grip. You may have your own hands around your neck, and you might be strangling yourself to death and don't even know it. And I want to save you today, friends. I want to help you. I want to help you escape your own death wish, your own suicidal urges, because that's what's going to happen if you stay in the ranks of the Judaizers. I want to read to you the second epistle of John, the second book of John, chapter 8, verses 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. John says, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Look at yourself. Now, friends, I want you to ask yourself, look in the mirror and look at yourself. Don't lose your reward. Look at yourself. Don't lose what God has given you if he's given you a gift. And then John says something that absolutely staggers the imagination. First, he says, look at yourselves, look to yourselves, so that you will receive a full reward. And then he says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Think about that. If you, dear friends, do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, you will not have God. You see, Christ and God are one and the same, and you cannot separate them. If you have God, you have Christ. If you have Christ, you have God. Now, what Judaizers have sought to do was say the Judaizers can have God without Christ. But that's not the doctrine of Christ. That's not what he taught. And if you claiming to be a Christian, teach that Judaizer doctrine from hell. If you say, Jew, you can have God, but you don't have to have Christ, you have just taught a doctrine of hell, and you're a transgressor, and you abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, and you don't have God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, however, says John, hath both the Father and the Son. You cannot be God's chosen unless you have the Father and the Son. Because if you don't have the Father and the Son, you're chosen for hell. Boy, now that's a shocker. Every man, every woman who does not have God and Christ is a servant of hell. A transgressor. You will be counted among the transgressors, and you will be sent to the same place as the transgressors because you are a servant of Satan. You can't have half because there is no half to give you. Solomon must have known that before he transgressed against the true God, because the two women came to him and they had a quarrel over the child, over the baby. One said, it's my baby. The other said, no, it's my baby. So he ordered a soldier to take a sword and slice the baby through. And he'd give one half of the baby to one woman, one half to the other. And right away, the true mother said, no, no, don't do that. Don't kill my child. Give it to this woman here. It would be better for her to have the baby and it live. Jesus is alive. He is eternal. He is God. Don't try to take a sword and slice him through the middle and separate him and say, okay, you Jews can have God, we'll have Christ. It's okay. It's not okay. And the true mother, the true heart, sick person said, no, I can't have that. It's either all or nothing. Right away, Solomon knew who the true mother was. God knows who the true Christian is. God knows that you, if you love him, would never try to separate him from his son, Jesus. That mother could not abide the killing of her child. Oh, don't think for a moment Solomon really meant to kill the child. In his wisdom, he knew exactly how to get to the truth of the matter. And this is how you, dear friends, can get to the truth of the matter. Do you believe in Jesus? No, I don't. Okay? You're a transgressor. Then you don't have God. Oh, I've got God. No, 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 no. I received a letter today from a nice person. I'm sure they're very sincere. They told me I really did not understand Hinduism. You see, in Hinduism, said the lady, we worship the one true God. We're not polytheists. We believe in the one true God who goes by many names. I intend to write the lady back and say, of course you believe in the one true God. His name is Lucifer. And that is indeed just one of his names. You can't believe in Jesus and worship another master. And you can't separate Jesus from his Father. And you know what? Here's the good news. You can't separate the child of God, the chosen, from Jesus or from the Father. I'm a Christian. I believe truly in Jesus and God. And let me tell you something. I'm one with both of them. I serve both Jesus and God because they're one. And I'm one with them. They are God is the high priest. And I'm his servant, which is my required and acceptable duty. We'll be right back. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We've got more. We're going to talk more about death grip. And I want to tell you what these Judaizers really believe and show you just what a great threat it is to the true faith. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. Did you know that Jesus Christ identified the greatest danger to world peace, the greatest threat to true Christianity in the last days? Yes, he did. The book of Revelation, he told us twice what to watch out for. And guess what? The horrible system that he warned about is never preached today in Christian pulpits. They don't dare tell you about the synagogue of Satan. And yet, in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, Jesus said this is the horror that will come upon the whole earth. This is the horrible system that will cast many Christians into prisons and murder many others. This is a great system of blasphemy. The synagogue of Satan. Now, when is your local Lutheran or Episcopal or Baptist preacher told you about that? They don't dare. Because, you see, there is a conspiracy of silence about the synagogue of Satan. Well, a Christian named Andrew Hitchcock in Great Britain decided to break this conspiracy of silence, to crack the code of the Bible. Simply by mentioning it, simply by researching it and documenting it. And what he's done is created this book, The Synagogue of Satan. It's over 300 pages long. And I want to send you a copy of this book. And when you order this book, you're helping this ministry to continue preaching the truth across the face of planet Earth. The Synagogue of Satan. It's a book entitled The Secret History of Jewish World Domination, by Andrew Hitchcock. I was very privileged to write the foreword for this book. And you must have it. It'll tell you about the Rothschild dynasty and what they've done. The true meaning of the six-pointed star. Why we have the banking system we do. Why the stock market is destined to collapse someday, very soon perhaps. Why our Christian churches are being polluted. And who's doing it? The horrible truth about the synagogue of Satan. Mr. Hitchcock says that world events do not happen by accident, and world history is planned far in advance by an invisible hand working secretly behind the scenes. This is the documentation you need to know the truth about those whom Jesus called the synagogue of Satan, murderous, liars, blasphemers, the synagogue of Satan. $20 for this book. Please add $4 shipping and handling, a total of $24 postpaid. Here's how to get the book. Use your charge card and phone us at toll-free, by the way, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673, or you can write to us, send us $24, a check or money order or cash, to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Again, our phone number, 1-800-234-9673 in the United States and Canada, or write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, this book is also available right on the homepage of our website, powerofprophecy.com. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking, in fact, about the synagogue of Satan and those who claim to be Christians but who are assisting the synagogue of Satan to succeed. You know, James Lloyd, a good friend of mine, he puts out a newsletter called the Apocalypse Chronicles. He says the Judaizers are deceiving the Christian church today. Take heed lest any man deceive you, Jesus told his disciples in Mark 13. For many shall come and shall deceive many. He says that the Judaizers are a cult, and they are the cult that kidnapped Christianity. They have hijacked the true Christian church. Or at least what they believe to be the Christian church, but it's not. We're still out here. We're a small group, but we're still believing in what God said and not what they said. We're not transgressors because we believe in the doctrine of Christ. And we believe truly in what John said, if you don't have Christ, you don't have God. And there are only two kind of people in this world, those chosen by God and those who are destined to serve Satan. And if you don't believe in Christ, then you're not chosen by God, you're serving Satan. Anybody who says, I'm a chosen of God, I say, do you believe in Jesus? If they say no, I say, you're a liar. And if a Christian says, all Jews are chosen by God, I say, you're a liar. Neither you nor the Jews are chosen by God, or you wouldn't spout such nonsense. Can a Jew become a Christian? Well, of course. And so can a German and a Mexican and a Peruvian and a Panamanian and a Cuban and a Native American and an African. Anybody of any blood can become a Christian through faith in Jesus Christ. But if somebody out there says, I'm a Jew, I have this flesh. Your flesh means nothing to God because flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Goodness, how stupid can a person get? How ignorant, how racist, how bigoted can a person get to say, I'm chosen and I'm special because I have a certain DNA? What an idiot. And what a bunch of idiots to promote such racial, non-spiritual trash as that. But they do it every day in evangelical churches across America and the world. Because these pastors are members of a cult that did indeed kidnap Christianity. Here's how they did it. Here's how they did it. James Lloyd says it very well in his Apocalypse Chronicles. He said, at its most elementary level, the Judaizers have attempted to create a doctrinal system that seeks to bridge the enormous divide between historic Judaism and Christianity. Saw a book some years ago, and I got a copy of it right away. It's called The Bridge to Light. It was by a Freemason. He said, this is the secret of Freemasonry. We seek to create a bridge so that all men of good faith can be part of a brotherhood, whether you're Muslim or Hindu, Christian or Jew, it doesn't matter to the Masons. We are building a bridge. I remember the Judds, very popular country singing group, had a beautiful song, at least had a beautiful melody, about building a bridge. I want to tell you something, dear friends. The bridge to God is Jesus. You cannot reach God without going through Jesus because God and Jesus are one and the same. Now, that being so, there is no other bridge. There's only rickety contraptions that appear to be bridges, but it's just like those beautiful old prints of paintings where the little boy and the little girl were trying to cross the bridge and it had holes in it. And at any moment they could fall through the holes in this old rickety bridge and fall to their death on the rapid water below in the river. But an angel was right over their shoulders, watching over the little boy and the girl. I used to love those pictures I used to see. Some people's homes and some churches. The angel guarding the little boy and the girl as they crossed the bridge. You see, the bridge is Jesus. And you're not going to fall through the hole to your death, as long as one of his angels guides you, as long as his truth leads you. No matter how dark the night is, no matter how much trouble and strife the devil throws at you, just follow on that bridge and do what God says. Follow the Lamb and he'll get you to the other side. But if you keep your eyes somewhere else, if you put your eyes on something other than Jesus, you remember what happened to Peter. He was fascinated that he could walk on water like his Lord Jesus. But for just a moment, he began to worry and fret. And he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. Jews who do not have their eyes on Jesus, other than as a target of their furious hatred and venom, have sunk to very low depths. And any supposed Christian who would say a Jew or a Muslim or a Hindu does not need Jesus are in that same low depth. There is no bridge between Judaism and Christianity, and there is no religious system called Judeo-Christianity. Nor has there ever been, nor can there be, because Moses was not a practitioner of Judaism, but a believer in the true religion of Jesus Christ. That may astonish you because you say, well, I don't know how that can be, because Moses and Abraham and all the prophets didn't even know Jesus. But here's what you've got to understand. Moses is alive today. And all the prophets and apostles are alive today. And they were chosen from the foundation of the world by Jesus. And in believing in the one true God, they believed in Jesus, the true faith. Now, he may have been a mystery to them, but they certainly know him today. And Jesus says that God is God of the living and not the dead. Now there is a congregation of the living, and it's made up of saints in heaven and saints on earth. Did you hear what I just said? There is a congregation, a holy congregation, made up of a very peculiar sort of people. And members of this congregation, some seem to be, at least, to our weak and puny minds, situated in heaven, and others are situated on earth. But that's just an illusion. Because Paul said, once you know Jesus Christ and you're accepted into his family, into his congregation, you're already brought nigh unto Jerusalem. You're already become a citizen of Zion. You're one of the saints. But if you do not believe in Jesus, you are not part of Jerusalem. You're not part of Zion. You're not a citizen of Israel. You're a citizen of hell. You're a follower of Abaddon. You're a follower of Apollyon. You're a follower of Satan or Lucifer. The theological teaching that is destroying America, says my good friend Pastor John Terrell in California, is that the dead rule the living. You see, the living faith is the New Testament. It's alive. The Old Testament vanished away, Paul said. But the New Testament, the blood of Jesus Christ, is alive forever. Moses is grasping onto that, and Isaiah and Elijah and Paul and Peter and John, all of them have grasped onto that truth. They don't give one fig about the Jerusalem here on earth, or for that matter, Washington, D.C., or Tokyo, or L.A. They love the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the great city of God. And so there are two Jerusalems. Oh, yes. Don't ever doubt for a moment there are two Jerusalems. There's the Jerusalem that is Mystery Babylon that slew our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when Pilate offered him to be saved from death, they said, no, we want him dead. They said, give us Barabbas, crucify that Jesus. And Pilate said, would you have me crucify your king? And what did the Jews say? We have no king but Caesar. The Jews have no king but Caesar. The world is their king, is their kingdom. No wonder then the Jewish Talmud, Shabbat, verse 116a, or paragraph 116a, it says, Jews must destroy the books of the Christians, especially the New Testament. The most holy book of the Jews is not the Old Testament of the Torah. It is the Talmud of the rabbis. And it says the Jews must destroy the books of the Christians. I think I know why. Listen to what the Jews say. Now remember, if you're a James Dobson, if you're a Pat Robertson, if you're a John Hagee, and you don't expose these horrors, these crimes against Christianity, you're part of the Church of Satan. You're of the synagogue of Satan. That's all you are. You're a lukewarm preacher who's headed for hell. Tex, you're so judgmental. Well, Jesus said, exercise righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. Is it not righteous to tell the truth? When John said, if you don't have Christ, you don't have God, you're a transgressor. Oh, you're a mean, mean man, John. He wasn't mean. He was being generous. He was trying to save some. He was trying to pull them out of the fire. I'd love to pull a few Jews out of the fire. But every time I get close, there are people like John Hagee that said, don't listen to Tex Mars. You don't need Jesus. Well, you're already God's chosen. Every time a Christian goes to a Jew and says, you've got to change your life. You've got to be born again through Christ. There's another lying, filthy, dirty, evangelical Zionist Judaizer out there, and he's got his clammy, cold hands around the very neck of the Jew saying, don't listen. You don't really need Jesus. You've got the Old Testament. You've got the Old Covenant. Well, you're so special. All Jews are to be exalted. Why? Salvation is of the Jews. Jesus is of the Jews. You're going to have your own kingdom. You're going to be gods on earth. Oh, you're so wonderful. We love you. We bless you. We'll give everything to you. Houston, Texas. The leader of the largest branch of American Judaism blasts conservative religious Christians. He calls them zealots. We're zealots, he says. Why? Because we claim a monopoly on God. Why? For one thing, he says, you're promoting anti-gay policies akin to Adolf Hitler's. This is from a news clipping I've got here. It was Rabbi Eric Yaffe, president of the Union for Reform Judaism. He says Christians, some Christians, believe, quote, unless you attend my church, accept my God, and study my sacred text, you cannot be a moral person. What could be more bigoted, says the rabbi, than to claim that you have a monopoly on God? 5,000 people responded to the speech with enthusiastic applause. Then, everywhere we turn, we get such a hatred of rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, and the Jews against Christians. For example, in Bakersfield, California, Rabbi Cheryl Rosenstein has taken the school district to court. Why? Because the school honors Christmas and Easter. She wants it changed to winter and spring. The rabbi says, we can't have Christianity in our schools. Meanwhile, another rabbi, Rabbi Rudin, has published a book called The Baptizing of America. He says there is a Christocracy that wants to shred our freedoms. We've got to squelch these biblical Christians. Why? Christians even want to take over in the bedroom. They want to censure homosexuality. Oh, you evil Christians, he says. And then they control the newsroom with thousands of Christian broadcasts. Hey, Rabbi, you don't have a thing to worry about. I don't hear very many Christian broadcasts at all that don't favor the Jews and their false teachings. Then there's Abraham Foxman, head of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, the Jewish Masonic organization. He's the guy that Pat Robertson, you know, gets down and kisses his feet. And so does George W. Bush, goes to his yearly convention and goes, let's smooch together, Mr. Foxman. And Foxman is vilifying Christians for witnessing to Jews. And he calls the New Testament a lying, hateful, hurtful book. A lying book. No wonder Jesus said they're blasphemers. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 3. They're of the synagogue of Satan. Jesus said, you're of the devil and his works you will do. That's what he told the Foxmans of this world. It's not a mistake that he said of Herod, call him that old fox. Now we have Foxman, head of the ADL. Christian bashing. Is Tex Mars the only one complaining about that? Am I the only one that defends the Bible? Am I the only one that cares that they so blaspheme and bash and say horrible things about my Lord and Savior? Am I the only one that cares that the Jewish holy book, the Jewish Talmud, says that Jews must destroy the books of the Christians, especially the New Testament? Evidently, no one else cares. You know, one group that at least is preaching to the Jews is a group called Jews for Jesus. I applaud them for that. Jews for Jesus, an organization, they're preaching to Jews. But wait! The Judaizers come forward and call them a horrible group! Listen to this. I have a news article from Canada. A Dr. Charles McVitie of the Canada Christian College. He has the gall to call his Bible school the Canada Christian College. He's expressing deep concern about the tactics of Christians. You see, he says Christians are trying to preach to Jews, and this is wrong. He says the tactics of Jews for Jesus. Now, this is Dr. Charles McVitie of Canada Christian College. He's head of a Christian school. He says Jews for Jesus is undermining the relations between Christians and Jews. He said, it's a dishonest group. Wow. You see, Dr. McVitie says that Jews don't really need Jesus. They have their own covenant. And Dr. McVitie is applauded, according to this news item, by Lynn Rudner, head of the Canadian Jewish Congress. If you say that Jews don't need Jesus, the Jews will naturally, they will applaud you. They'll say, good going. Well, John Hagee, we get to John Hagee. He went to Washington, D.C. Over 3,000 people from James Dobson, all the big wigs were there, Pat Robertson, they all attended this big conclave in Washington, D.C. It was a meeting of a group called Christians United for Israel, or CUFI. I call it goofy. Christians United for Israel. Their purpose, they said, is to unite every evangelical across the nation to speak and act with one voice in support of Israel. Notice, they don't want evangelicals across the nation to speak and act with one voice in support of Jesus. It's to support Israel. Their mission, their goal, their great commission is to preach Israel. Not Jesus, Israel. In fact, let me explain to you here. You won't believe this, but the executive director, the president of this group, Christians United for Israel, is Dr. John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee, from Cornerstone Christian Church in San Antonio. But all these other bigwig Christian celebrities were there. Now, the executive director is a man named David Brog. Would you believe it? He's Jewish. He's an Orthodox Jew. And he's the executive director of this organization that all the Christian bigwigs belong to. They're drinking out of the cup of devils, friend. They're drinking from the cup of devils. David Brog, a religious Jew, was hired by John Hagee to run his organization, this Christians United for Israel. Who is Brog? Well, he's former chief of staff to Senator Arlen Specter, a Jew, another Jew. Specter is now promoting the Hate Crimes Act that would make it a federal crime for you to criticize the Jews and their religion. For you to say that Jesus is the only way to salvation, it would be a federal crime if Mr. Specter, Senator Specter, gets his way. And Brog is his former chief of staff. And Brog wants the hate bill passed, no doubt. Now, featured speaker there along with Hagee was another Jew, Senator Joseph Lieberman. He's also a promoter of the Hate Crimes Act that wants to shut you up as a Christian and keep you from preaching Jesus only. In fact, it was Lieberman and another Jewish activist, Senator Carl Levin from Michigan, who co-sponsored the infamous Section 220 of the lobby reform bill, which would shut Christians up for good. Listen what Brog said. What is the goal of all of these Christian leaders? Imagine, every well-known Christian leader was there. I have no doubt that Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, was there. I have no doubt they were all there. Joyce Meyer, I know she was there. Kenneth Copeland had to have been there. They were all there. Listen to what David Brog, the executive director of the organization of which all of the evangelical Christian community are members of, whether they're charismatic, tongue speakers, or Baptist, or whatever, they're all members of this group, Christians United for Israel. Listen to what their executive director said. He says, quote, all activities of our group are strictly non-conversionary. We do not talk about conversion. We do not talk about Jesus. So those who work with us are not offended. Our mission is not to talk about Jesus or to convert. Our mission is to build a bridge to the Jewish community to ensure the survival of Judeo-Christian civilization. Wow. What did Jesus teach? He said his name should be proclaimed to all the nations. Matthew 28, verse 19. In fact, he said that Christians should witness to the Jew first. To the Jew first, and then the Gentile. Romans 2, verse 10. Friends, these people don't witness to anybody except to tell them how great the Jews are and how wonderful Israel is and how we have to go and take nuclear bombs and kill all the Arabs or kill most of them and smash into Iran to help the Jews, to help Israel become a strong, prosperous nation. Their great commission is Israel. And they promised the world, we will not attempt to convert. We will not even talk about Jesus. And Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Friend, break away from the death grip of the Judaizers. Break away from those who preach Israel and not Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Few people today understand the gravity of what confronts us. You see, there is absolutely a conspiracy and plot to destroy the Christian church, undermine and destroy the church from within. This is not an outside attack. It is not that we should concern ourselves so much with what the media says, what the secular world says. This is not secular humanism. This is not even the New Age movement. This is an insidious cancer, a growth within the so-called very body of Christianity. Now, I'm well aware that Satan cannot destroy the true church of Jesus Christ, for it is the eternal body of Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. We are the living stones of that faith. We are, as Christians, the very temple of God. We are, in fact, Zion, the New Jerusalem. We are the Israel of God. And God, Jesus Christ, who framed the universe, is our high priest. Now, the plot involves this. It involves the swallowing up of Christianity and the merger of Christianity back again with Judaism. It's sort of like the Big Bang theory of the universe by physicists that has now, of course, been discredited and disproved in more recent times. But it was believed that at one time the whole universe was one giant rock and it exploded, and it has been fast moving away. All the pieces were planets and stars and suns and asteroids and meteors and comets and so forth. They've been running away from each other, you might say, and expanding. But that theory was recently disproven when mathematically it was discovered that the universe is not moving out and away from each other, which would mean the velocity would be less and less, because if you throw an object, the further it travels from the first point of the throw, of the action, then eventually the velocity will slow down and, you know, it can't keep going because of the effects of gravity and so forth. They have now found that these objects that are moving away from what they thought was the scene of the Big Bang, the big blast of the universe, that the universe is actually accelerating. It's gathering speed. Where it's going, well, nobody knows. But isn't that interesting? We're actually moving further and further, faster and faster, away from something towards something. No one really knows. Now, we have the same thing in Judaism. The Jews believe that Christianity came out of Judaism, that it was a little sect by a man named Paul, started by a man named Paul, who was jealous of his peers and his superiors, and who grasped on to this man Jesus and made him into something he wasn't. They also believe that Jesus was nothing but an itinerant, stupid rabbi, who of course was all mixed up and confused because he was uneducated, and he got all these uneducated people around him, you know, fishermen and so forth, just a bunch of rabble. But basically, they were all just would-be rabbis, wannabes. And they believe that Christianity then must return to its roots, back to Judaism. What came out of Judaism must return to it. And you must understand, this is what we're talking about. The Jews say, you came out of us, and we're going to force you to come back into us, to swallow the doctrine of the Pharisees. What Jesus, Paul, and the others lied to you about, we will now tell you the truth, and you must disavow any possibility that you're a separate faith and a separate religion. You're just a heretical sect of Judaism. You must come back together and be part of the mother faith. This then is the true meaning of what is happening in the world today. And thus the Jews over the centuries have set up organizations, secret societies, whose goal has been to destroy Christianity from within. Now what they have done over the centuries, and this has been a long-term project, they have actually placed their own agents as young men. They train these young men up to become leaders of the Christian religions. Many, many Jews changed their names and took on Gentile names. And many of them went down and joined, at the direction of the rabbis, joined Christian churches. Secretly, they were still Jews. They carried out the Jewish festivals in the privacy of their homes and so forth. They would secretly visit the synagogues and so forth. But they pretended to be Christians, and they would even send, at the direction of the rabbis, their own sons to seminaries of the Catholic Church, of the Protestant denominations. And over the years, these men, these evil Jewish men, worked their way into the fabric, into the network of the Christian church, until finally they were cardinals and bishops and high priests and pastors of some of the largest churches in the world, Protestant and Catholic. There is no doubt that Pope John Paul II was a Jew. Everybody knows that. Now they've come out and admitted that he was a Polish Jew. And yet his family pretended to be Christian. So you see, even the largest so-called Christian denomination, and we all have our serious understanding that's not even true, the Roman Catholic Church has been taken over, subverted by this diabolical plan. Meanwhile, entire so-called Christian denominations were set up. Now, all of this began particularly in the late 19th century. We saw, for example, with Joseph Smith and Mormonism, or the Latter-day Saints, that all it really was a huge Masonic Jewish front. And even today, if you talk to serious, knowledgeable Mormons, they will tell you that they believe they are the true spiritual Jews, and that they're setting up a Zion with the United States being the headquarters. They've even chosen a city, Independence, Missouri. They believe they are Zion. They are the Jews. They are the tribes. Two of the tribes. They even say that the lost tribes of Israel came to America, and even Jesus came to America. But when you study, scratch below the surface just a little bit of the Mormon philosophy, they say Jesus is not the only God. There are millions of gods in the universe. And Jesus and Satan were even spiritual brothers of the same God Father. And there is a mother in heaven. All of these things are, of course, are taught secretly by the Kabbalistic rabbis of Judaism. And Mormonism has bought into them completely. And they put out a new Mormon Bible. And it also teaches that Jesus is only one of many gods. He's God of only the planet Earth. But when you die, you'll have thousands of wives. They're much more sexy than in their doctrines than the 70-some-odd wives of the Muslims in their paradise. But you could have thousands of wives and be a god of your own planet as a Mormon. That's why my good friend Ed Decker calls them the God Makers. They promise to make every man a god. Jesus was only a man, and he earned his godhood, and you could earn your manhood. You see, this demotes Jesus then. Then the Jehovah's Witnesses came about. And there again, we have the same situation. They began the Jehovah's Witnesses denomination meeting in Masonic temples, in Masonic meeting halls. And they were directed in all their ways by Jewish rabbis. That's why, again, although they profess a belief in Jesus, study closely the true doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and you will find they say Jesus is just another one of many gods. In fact, he's not even really a god. He's only an angel. In fact, Jesus is just another name for Michael the Archangel. They say they're witnesses not of Jesus, but of Jehovah, because Jesus is not God. But they claim to be the true Christian faith, as the Mormons do. You see how they have slowly been seeding these things in? But that's not enough. They said, you know what? It's not enough to create entire false religions, such as the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. And yes, even the Seventh-day Adventists was a created religion, created by Jews and by Masons. Now, I know you precious Seventh-day Adventists do not want to believe that, but it's true. That's why you stick with the Old Covenant. That's why you don't believe that Jesus is the Sabbath of rest, but instead you believe that there's a certain day. You want to be a Jew. And everything in Freemasonry comes right. Seventh-day Adventism is, much of it is right out of Freemasonry. You must understand that many of your own founders of the Seventh-day Adventist movement were Freemasons. Now, At the same time, that wasn't enough. They wanted to break into all the larger denominations, and they used Freemasonry to do it. Now, back in the late 19th century, Albert Pike, the former, at that time, he was Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry. He was called the Supreme Pontiff of International Freemasonry. He and Giuseppe Mazzini, who was the European Illuminist and the head of Freemasonry over there, decided they were actually given orders by the Jewish Rabbinical Sanhedrin group. And they helped to found the Jewish ADL, Anti-Defamation League, the B'nai B'rith, which was a Jewish Masonic group with headquarters in New York City, but around the world in all the capitals. This also is a Masonic group. And so today, Freemasonry has its roots in the Episcopal Church, in the Lutheran Church, and certainly in the Southern Baptist Church, where a good 40% of all the pastors, and maybe up to 70 or 80% of all the deacons in the Southern Baptist churches, America's largest denomination, are Masons. And therefore, they are Jews, because Freemasonry is Jewish to its very roots. And you must get my videos, such as Illuminati Mystery Babylon, and Thunder Over Zion, and Masonic Lodge Over Jerusalem to understand this. And then they funded a man named Scofield, who created the Scofield Bible, which perverted the King James Bible. And Mr. Scofield was brought into the fold of the Jews and the Sanhedrin of the rabbis by a billionaire Jew from New York City named Samuel Untermeyer. And he was brought into a secretive group called the Lotus Club in New York City. And he was funded for his dirty work of dirtying the Bible. And thus began the Scofield Bible. We have a book called The Incredible Mr. Scofield for you that will inform you of that. And then they set up what they call the Masonic Jewish community. Throughout the evangelical world today, there are Masonic Jews. I'm not saying that every one of these people is of the devil, but most of them are. And they're out there perverting the field of Christianity. Among these Masonic Jews, well, I won't even get into all their names today. Maybe I'll save that for another time. But I want you to understand there are disciples of the Sanhedrin in America today, and they've been put in places with money of great leadership. John Hagee, Pat Robertson, Paul Crouch, the Bakers, of course, reported this group, Jerry Falwell, Billy Graham was a crypto Jew, swallowing up Christianity from inside. Can you imagine a Jew becoming Pope in Rome? Can you imagine the largest denominations being taken over by the Masonic Lodge, which is a crypto-Jewish organization? Can you imagine our new Bible versions slowly taking away the truth, what Jesus said and Paul and the others, warnings about the Jews? They've even changed the warning about the synagogue of Satan in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and now it's the church of Satan in the new versions. I'm telling you, friends, they are destroying the church from within. That's why you can't trust denominations. You can't trust large mega churches. You can't trust the new Bible versions. Stick with the King James Bible. Stick with God's Word. And answer only to Jesus Christ and not to the leaders of this so-called pseudo-Judaic Christianity. Now, we're going to be talking so much in future weeks about this subject, about Christianity being swallowed up into Judaism, supposedly collapsing back into its so-called Jewish roots, so that Jesus will become simply another Jewish teacher and rabbi. They've even set up a theologian group called the Jesus Seminar. And one of their pronouncements was Jesus was just a wandering rabbi. Do you see what they're doing? They're saying we cannot deny the good things Jesus did. We cannot deny the truth of the New Testament. But what we will say is, well, you can't trust the New Testament exactly because it was perverted. Friends, remember, God's chosen, according to Galatians
chapter 3, verses 28 and 29 are all those who have the faith of Jesus Christ in their heart. When you understand that, and remember Jesus is truly God, Jesus is the only man who ever died on a cross and was resurrected and lives forevermore. He wasn't another rabbi. He wasn't another teacher. He was the greatest authority in all of history. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Friends, don't listen to the liars. Don't listen to the Judaizers. Stay true to the one faith given us by the saints. And my prayer is that you will tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.